Blessed be the name of the Lord and Shalom. We are tracking on the book of James, and we want to look at James chapter 3 and verses 1 all the way to 12. Here, we want to speak to the missionaries of God or the community of God that find themselves believers. They are minorities, but they are in the midst of the majority non-believers. This example can be looked at as a woman who is in the marketplace. She's the only one, maybe, or a few among the many, who truly believe in God, while others are not. And this woman would be forced either to be an example of a woman who can use the right standards in this community and not copy the majority, the way majority are using wrong standards. And for that reason, we are saying, how can you be able to remain a woman of God? It's just like a student who is in school where other students are copying exams and they're stealing exams, and you have an opportunity to do the same. How do you make sure that you don't steal the exam like others? This is what the book of James is all about. That practical living, living as a woman of God, living as a man of God in the world of employment, professionals, where people might be choosing to steal from the organization, steal their time, money, and other resources, use the office for their own benefit because nobody sees you. And many people are doing the same. How would you remain a godly worker in the midst of those ungodly ones? The book of James have an answer. What about politicians? Everybody is using lies as they do their political aspiration and they do those politics. How do you not insult? How do you not plan the killing of your competitor and use goons as it is being done in the world today and being a different person, even though you might not be chosen or be elected, but you stand by God? The book of James is the example. And John and Joseph of the Bible is another example where this boy had an opportunity to fornicate or to prostitute with the mother, with the, you know, with the owner of the house, the Potiphar's wife. But he said, I fear God. Nobody maybe could have known, but he knew that God can see. That practical living, how the Hebrew boys would live and even be put into the fire. Daniel to be put in the den of lions, just because he wanted to remain different. Now, here, chapter 3, we want to examine the power of the tongue to control our lives. We know that our practical living can be controlled by our perspective, which we looked at in chapter number 2, and we discovered that we need to have the right lenses. But here, it can also be able to be controlled by the tongue. How then can we control the tongues? How can we want to examine the power of the tongue to control our lives? And we want to look at two analogies used by James. One of them is the ship in a stormy wind. How a small rudder, small steering, can be able to control a big, huge ship in the waters, very stormy, but is able to really control it. How can you control this? That's how powerful the tongue is. And also like fire in a forest. You just put a small spark in the forest and the whole of forest get into the fire. That's how he says that if you don't control the power of the tongue, we can be able to get uncontrollable even in the midst of unbelievers. So we'll appreciate the need to speak with care by noting the impact of our speaking, not to misrepresent God. So while we are missionaries, minority missionaries, amongst the majority unbelievers, we need to live in a way that we don't misrepresent God. And so James here is giving his wisdom, and he says, not many of you should become teachers. My fellow believers, you see, he's speaking to believers. He's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about things that accompany salvation. So at times, some people did not believe in the book of James because they were mistaking the book of James to speak about salvation. But when they discovered it's not about salvation, James is not dealing with salvation. Not that salvation is wrong. He knew that is dealt with in other theological books by Paul. He's dealing by what accompanies salvation. The works, the you know, how you follow. And one of the things is about how do you speak? How do you represent God? So he said, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that he who teach will be judged more strictly. I think that one comes with the power. We are supposed to be teachers, yes, but we are told if you do not know what you are teaching, you will misrepresent God. So don't teach. Then Jesus said that if you mislead one of these little ones, Jesus said he is going to put the millstone at their head and throw them into the middle of the sea of forgetfulness. Because misrepresenting God is the most dangerous and most serious thing that can ever happen. If you misrepresent an organization, if you misrepresent, you know, the king, it is the most bad thing that can ever happen. So James is talking about how do we do that? How can we control our tongue and not misrepresent God? How can we? And he says, here is only that we need to talk and communicate with care. Then he continued to give example that we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is in what you say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouth of horses, we make them obey us. Now, this is another example I should have also have talked about. One of the examples is how the bits can be able to control the horse. The horse is a wild, can be a wild animal, can be well, because of its strength, can go unrestrained. But some bits, something called bits that are put in the mouth, that are put under the, you know, the first or the legs, and when the one who is driving or riding a horse keeps on pulling them, and as they prick the mouth or the lining of the mouth of the horse, the horse is restrained. And as you pull them and they touch, you know, the middle of the feet or the legs of the horse and they prick, the horse is controlled. It's very fast, but you can stop it. So he says, that's how the tongue is. It's like those bits. You can turn it, the whole animal, whatever you want. Or take the sheep, for example. Although they are so large, this is the second example, and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, a tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great fire. Forest is set on fire by a small spark, because the tongue is a spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. See, James says, tongue can control the whole body because the tongue carries life and death. If you use it wrongly, it will take you to hell. It will take me to hell. It will take others to hell. It is going to mislead others, but finally is going to be burned in hell. So we are told to take care of the tongue, take care of the power of the tongue. Then he says that all animals, all kind of animals, birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, one of the things that we need to finish this session with is to realize that nobody can tame a tongue. You will not say, whoops, I'm not going to speak again. That you're saying, I don't want to get involved into this conversation. And so you decided to keep quiet. Let me tell you, that is not the way to control the tongue. It's not just to rebuke and say, I will not talk again. That's not the way to control the tongue. Nobody can control the tongue. You can control, you can tame all other animals. You can tame reptiles. You can tame sea creatures. You can bring them and domesticate them. But nobody can tame the tongue. Why? He says it is a restless evil. A tongue can be full of evil, can be full of deadly poison. It is only God alone who can control the tongue. I think as we do this session, it's good to realize that God owns up and says he is the only one who can control the tongue. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and our Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. So James says, there should not be double standards. If our yes is yes, we can only use our mouth to praise God. So I want us to invite God to be able to control our tongue so that as we control this tongue,